Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 645 Pod. This is a podcast to help you follow Jesus, especially if you're part of the 645 community, but it's for everyone else as well. I'm Anton, and I'm minister for 645 at Christchurch St. Ives.
And I'm Simon. I'm Anton's apprentice. I'm a ministry apprentice here, and I also look after 645.
And we welcome you to season two. We are looking at living for God. And living for God this time round, we're looking at decision making.
Yeah. That's a big topic.
It is a big one.
It was a big decision to decide to do this topic.
It was actually a fairly easy decision.
Yeah, it was an obvious one.
But we know how many decisions that we all have to make in our daily lives. And as we live for God, let's see how we can hear God's word and make decisions to please God.
Let's do it. All right, so decision making. It's definitely a big topic and one that we talk about and think about a lot. We kind of can't really go through life without making a lot of decisions, from the small ones that I think about all the time, like what am I going to have for lunch? It's probably one of the biggest decisions I make each day.
It's a bit paralyzing for you.
Yeah. To the big ones, like what am I going to do with my life? What will I study? What jobs will I have? Will I date this person? Like all of these things, there's lots of decisions. You can't really escape making decisions in your life.
No, but, and particularly for young adults, which a lot of us are at 645, so you included me in that. There's a lot of decisions to make, and a lot of the kind of the bigger decisions in life happen in, you know, your late teens and 20s, and then it settles down a little bit in your 30s, or it did for me at least. But with decision making and following Jesus, as we, if we accept Jesus into our lives, we should experience great freedom and joy in so many areas of life. But I feel like for decision making, it can actually, we actually can be so enslaved by all the decisions that we have to make, both the small ones and the big ones, because, you know, for lunch today, you know, we're in St. Ives and
there's not a lot of options.
There's not, but there's still a lot of options, you know?
So, there's like no standout option. You've just got a lot of, I could do this, I could do this.
Yeah. But like, there's what, 25 places you could eat, let alone Coles and Woolies to get something, you know? So from those small decisions to the big decision, you know, like what should I do with my life or things like that, it can be really quite paralyzing and we can live in fear of what decision that we should make.
And kind of live in fear of making the wrong decision as well. We can
Absolutely.
Kind of, that can sometimes be the worst part is go, oh, I want to do this, but what if it's the wrong decision? Am I stuck with it? Oh, no.
That's right. Yeah.
The anxiousness about it can be quite paralyzing.
That's right. So hopefully with hearing from the word of God today, we can be a people who aren't afraid of making decisions because we're not afraid of the future, but we know Jesus who has the future in his hands. But we thought to kick off our thinking about decision making, I might ask you, Simon, about one decision that, you know, a big decision that you've made recently, maybe, you know, as a weigh-in. Let's hear
was
from
that
you.
To buy some noodles for lunch yesterday? Is that?
Was that you made that decision?
I did, yeah.
Ooh, controversial. Let's go slightly bigger.
Okay.
So you're a ministry apprentice here at Christchurch.
I am.
For those that might be listening from afar, what is a ministry apprentice?
So it's it is like an apprenticeship. So I come and work at church and I get the opportunity to kind of learn about what it's like to be in ministry, to kind of gain some skills, get the experience of what it's like to be a minister without kind of doing the full deep dive of, yes, I'm going to be ordained and go to Bible college. MTS is like a little training ground to help you figure that out, to experience ministry and to learn what that's like.
Yeah, great. And this wasn't your career trajectory a few years ago.
No.
So you've made a big decision to pursue vocational ministry. What was that decision like? Can you talk us through the decision you made?
So I was running my own business a few years ago. I've been through many different careers, really. Take a whole podcast to list them off. But so I was running my own business, doing cakes and baking and things, and being really involved in church throughout that whole time. And kind of a slow, niggling build in me kind of was going, maybe you should think about ministry. You're spending a lot of time at church. Maybe you should think about this. And so that was kind of a process of thinking those things through, and then a very intense process of trying to make that decision of, do I continue running my own business or do I go into ministry and do an MTS apprenticeship?
Yep. And what were the big factors that helped you make that decision?
I think talking through it with you, spent a lot of time talking to you about this decision.
Just a little bit.
And with other people who knew me well, asking their thoughts on what it should look like. I spent a lot of time thinking and praying about it and trying to figure out what the best course of action would be and what I should do. Yeah, I spent a lot of time thinking about what would it look like to be godly in those decisions, what my motivations are for doing one over the other, and what I thought would be the way that I could use my life the best to serve God. Like, where will I be best suited to be using all that I'm doing to serve God?
All right, so that was kind of your key, the clincher factor. Yeah. Like, okay, where for you as you, Simon, where could you best serve God in this life?
Yeah.
And what was it like for you personally to go through that decision?
It was pretty agonizing, as you definitely know very well, Anton.
That's why I did ask that question with a smile on my face.
It was a really difficult decision. It was the better part of a year really thinking it through and really, I was quite agonized by it. I think, like we were saying earlier, it was the making the wrong choice and regretting was something that was a big part in my head of, oh, I really don't want to stick to the wrong thing and regret my choice. And I guess that was compounded with the thoughts about one of these decisions was going into ministry, which kind of has its own set of things to think about and consider and questions to answer. And so it was really hard. It was really hard giving up the thought of my business that I've been working on for 2 years, you know, that my family were really excited about, and I had friends who were really invested in it. And so, you know, there was one aspect where I was like, maybe I'll be letting people down if I go into ministry. But also I felt quite strongly that I should go into ministry, but I was quite scared of that option. So yeah, it was a lot of agonizing and a lot of kind of fighting with my own conscience and mind, trying to think these things through.
Yeah, yeah. And so not an easy decision, but many of you listening are very thankful that Simon's made that decision, and who knows who will be blessed in the future through your ministry. But that was a big year of for a big decision. Mm. So hopefully we can unpack some of that thinking as we go through some of what the Bible says about decision-making as we go along.
Mm. Yeah, let's have a look at what it says. So decision-making, godly decision-making, I feel like there's a lot of different opinions out there, a lot of different thoughts, and a lot of pitfalls that we can really easily fall into in when we think about what it looks like to make a godly decision, and kind of a lot of sneaky ones that kind of fly under the radar that we think sound really wise and think sound really godly, but actually maybe unhelpful ways to think about making decisions. So what are those kind of some of these ways that we think about making decisions and some that might be a bit unhelpful?
Yeah, I think as we read the Bible, we can sometimes think that we need to look for a sign from God, kind of in the Gideon mode. So if you know the story of Gideon, God had told him, no, he should go out into battle. And Gideon's like, oh, what should I do? What should I do? And so he, you know, laid out a fleece and he said, okay, God, if the fleece is wet and the ground's dry in the morning, then okay, I know what you want me to do. Like that happened. And then he said, oh, I still don't know what to do. So let me put the fleece out again. And if the ground's wet and the fleece is dry, you know, the opposite, then okay, then I'll know what to do. And so finally, after that happened again, he's like, okay, I've got a sign from God. I'm going to do it.
I always feel like God is very patient in that story.
That's right. Yeah. Oh,
he's very accommodating of Gideon.
That's right. So obviously God had already told him what to do, but Gideon kind of felt like he needed that sign from God. And we might feel like that we might not have had a word from God about what we should do about a particular decision, but we feel like we need that sign, that kind of confirmation from God. And the Gideon example, that's not a prescriptive example of what we should expect. It's almost a negative example of someone who
just didn't trust what God said.
That's right, yeah. And so we can look for either external things, so like, oh, that kind of that thing happened, so maybe God's wanting me to do this out there, or even internal confirmation. Oh, I have a really strong, we can think that, okay, no, that's we can think of they're the ways that God is guiding me, which, you know, is not the way that God actually tells us how he guides us in the Bible.
And they're kind of almost understandable things to want and want to look out for. Like we want something that's black and white and certain. We don't want to be confused. Like, I would have loved to have a voice from heaven go, Simon, go into ministry. Yeah, yeah, it would have saved a year of agony.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we do see it in the Bible. Gideon's one example, but there's a bunch of different people who God does signs for or, like, speaks to directly and tells them what to do.
Yeah.
And so we kind of think, oh, that would be so good. Yeah, I want that. And so I'm going to look for that because I want something as a sign to give me confidence in making that decision.
That's right, because we might generally want to do what God wants us to do, but we may not know what that is or have confidence in that. And so we look for that sign. You know, God is God. He can do whatever he likes. So there may be a literal voice from heaven or something that will speak to you. But in all the times in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, when it's kind of that direct guiding happens, it's never sought. It's not like they've been praying, God, give me a sign. And then he gives them a sign.
Yeah.
It's always just God going, nope, you're going to do this kind of thing.
Mm.
Whereas in the rest of the New Testament, the church is never encouraged to look for signs or impressions on our hearts to know God's will.
Mm. And I think you touched on it a little bit. We can be a little bit crippled by the idea of what is a godly decision. Mm. Like, we can have a right concern to be godly in what we do and what we decide, but that can lead to kind of an overemphasis on, oh, is this decision godly or not? I'm really scared of making an ungodly decision and not doing what God wants me to do, so I'm going to be really worried and look for a sign so I can be confident that what the godly decision is or isn't. And so we can kind of have a right attitude, but then it kind of becomes a bit more all-consuming and that attitude doesn't play out in a helpful way.
Yep, that's right. Do you know what we need to help us with this?
What do we need?
We need a new segment for the podcast.
Oh, whoa, a new segment. What's this one called, Anton?
This segment is called State of Grace.
Oh, wow. What's it about?
It's all about, so through some of these topics, we will go deep into some aspect of theology or some doctrine of the Christian faith so that we can use that to understand the broader topic.
That sounds exciting. Definitely sounds helpful for decision making.
Yeah, okay. So for State of Grace this week, we're looking at the doctrine of the will of God. So God's will for our world.
Yeah.
Now, when we think of God's will, we often think, okay, what's God's will for me? But it's actually much more broad than that. And as we look in the Bible, we can see there's at least two kind of clear wills of God, two aspects of the will of God that are distinct from one another. And we will help us if we get the distinction as we make decisions.
Yeah.
So the first aspect is the will of decree. So that's kind of, okay, whatever God decrees, whatever he decides, happens.
Yeah.
So today I had eggs for breakfast. Okay, that was God's will for me. And I know that because it's happened. Whatever happens is is God's will of decree.
So what's locked in the past is, you know, that's what God has planned to happen because it's happened.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So, for example, in Revelation 4, it says, 4:11, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. So God willed for the creation of all things.
Yeah, that's how it started. Let there be light.
Yeah, yeah. That was God's will of decree, and sure enough, there was light. Now, God knows the future. He's decreed the future, so it's there. And there's the big picture of God's will also in terms of where things are heading in this world. So, you know, we've seen God's will of decree in the past, because all things have happened in the past have been according to this will of decree. But he has revealed to us what his decree is for the future. And we get it in passages like Ephesians 1, starting at verse 8. It says there that with all wisdom and understanding, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. So that's good news for us. Okay.
Yeah. No more mystery. Yay.
What is God's will? The mystery is revealed. And he ends up saying it is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So it's basically everything's going to come under the rule of Jesus. That's God's big will for the world. And so that's going to happen. So we know what has happened because we can see it, seen it happen. And we know what will happen in terms of God's will. it's all things are going to be united under the rule of Jesus.
Mm. So there's God's will of decree, everything that has happened, and we know the future that will happen. God's in command of all of those things. But what's the other aspect of God's will for us to think about?
Well, the other aspect of God's will is God's will of command, as in what he desires or what he wants and what he's commanded of his people.
Yeah.
So we get a passage like Romans 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
Mm.
So they're saying, okay, if God transform your minds, if your mind's renewed, then you'll be able to know what God's will is.
Mm.
Now, it's not saying you'll be able to know what God has decreed, how things will play out in the future, but you'll know this other type of will, the will of command.
Yeah.
And so if you keep going through Romans 12, what you get is all these commands of how to live a godly life, how to use your gifts to serve, how to love one another. And so if your mind is renewed, you'll know what God wants in terms of you living a life of holiness.
Mm. And so that's his big goal of what he wants, right? He wants us to be holy. That's kind of the boiling down of his will of command is our holiness.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I've just preached on that in 1 Thessalonians 4 says, this is God's will, your sanctification, your being made holy.
Yeah.
And so if that's what God wants for you. And so if you follow God's will, that's equivalent to you growing in holiness. Because that's what God wants.
Mm.
That's his will.
Yeah, that's really helpful to think about, really helpful to kind of have in our heads. It has a big impact on how we think about decision-making, really, doesn't it? And how we, you know, factor those things into making our decisions. I think it'll change our way of thinking, oh, I want God to tell me exactly what to do, because actually God has told us. We have his will of command in the Bible. It's all written down. God's caused it. And we know what his will of decree for the ultimate future is as well.
Yeah.
And so I think last week we talked about the idea of living appropriately within the drama, that way of building an ethical framework. So we kind of know God's past, what has happened. We know what the future will be, and we know what God's will of command is for us in the present. And so that helps us to understand how we can live and make decisions in this part of God's big narrative that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. So whatever decision we make, if we're going to make a decision that pleases God, it's got to fit within that big story.
Mm.
So if everything's going to be under the rule of Jesus in the end, then our decision needs to be a decision made under the rule of Jesus, or that will enhance the rule of Jesus. So, you know, your decision to go into ministry, it will, you know, God willing, will help other people come under the rule of Jesus. What a great decision to make that is, and you know, anticipating that future decree that will happen. But even in our day-to-day decisions, it's got, you know, living under the rule of Jesus, that's kind of the baseline of how we make a decision. Okay, that's what's going to happen. And God's command for me is to live in obedience to Jesus. That's God's will of command. So, okay, let's decide along those lines.
Yeah. So, Anton, you asked me about some of my decision making. So it's only fair that I return the favor and ask you to share something about yourself. What's an example of you and decision making and godliness and how you've approached these things?
Yeah, I just remember this decision so clearly. So, again, it was when I had about to finish uni, and I was thinking about what to do work-wise in my next year out of uni. And I'd already made the decision to change from pursuing a kind of commerce-y finance career to teaching. So I did an education diploma. And towards the end of that, I got a job offer from my old school to teach in their primary school. Now, the issue with that was I had been trained to be a high school teacher. And so, it was, you know, a great job. I was like, oh, I've got no experience of primary school. I'd been a youth group leader, not a kids church leader. So that wasn't what I was expecting. But, you know, a job's a job. So I was like, okay, great. And also, it was only a one-year contract. It was a maternity position. And, you know, that kind of worked for both the school and me, because if I was terrible, it's only for a year. And if I hated it, it was only for a year.
Yeah.
And so I got that and I signed the one-year contract. Barker College then called me up from a mutual friend and basically offered me my dream job. So they have kind of youth workers who teach scripture classes and meet up with kids and help them grow to know Jesus more and run crusader groups and things like that. And that's all I wanted to do. You know, I did heaps of stuff at church and at youth group. I wanted to help young people come to know Jesus and grow in their knowledge of Jesus as well. And this job seemed perfect. I would get to do this for my work.
Yeah.
And so I really, really wanted that. But okay, what do I do? Do I take this other job? But I'd already signed the contract and said I would take the primary school job. The headmaster of Barker even offered to speak to the headmaster of Shore and say, oh, can you, you know.
Wow, they really wanted you, Adam.
Yeah, they really did. Ultimately, in the end, I decided that I would give up my dream job. And I did that because I realized, no, what God wants from me, his will of command is for me to be holy. And part of that is if you give your word, you keep your word.
Mm.
And I had already signed the contract for Shore and for primary teaching.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, God, I really should stick to my word because that's how to be godly in this situation.
Mm.
So for me, it was a really big call. I agonized over a lot and I didn't have my dream job, but I felt like I honored God in that decision. And by God's grace, I had a ball teaching primary school. I loved it. Had lots of opportunities as well to witness to both the kids and the parents and also the staff at that primary school. And so God did great things working through me in that. But yeah, that was just one decision that I really had to go, okay, am I going to do what I want to do or do what I think God has commanded me to do in terms of being godly?
Mm. Yeah, that's really helpful, Anton. That's a great story to kind of hear really practically how you, let godliness be the driving force behind your decisions and what you decided to do with your life. It sounds like even though that was a hard decision, maybe that was quite clear cut for you in terms of one, the godly decision was keeping your word there. But I guess what some of the ways that we can think about making godly decisions, some broader principles, how we can think about how to be driven by godliness in decisions, especially when a lot of our decisions aren't necessarily clear cut. We don't know exactly this is godly, this is not. How can we think about those kind of decisions?
Yeah, so I think it's relatively easy to make a godly decision, as in something that is along the lines of the will of command. So if I was to, if you had a decision where you could choose A or choose B, but to get B, you had to lie to someone to get it, then obviously lying is ungodly. And so to choose B would be an ungodly decision.
Yeah.
Whereas A, which didn't involve lying, that's a godly decision. So that's, you know, it could be fairly clear to go, okay, if it's ungodly, well, don't make that decision.
Mm.
But if it's not a kind of godly, ungodly thing, if it's, okay, which career should I choose? You know, I could do this, this, or this.
Mm.
None of them are ungodly necessarily.
Yeah.
Are any of them better or more what God wants than others? You know, or should I, you know, date someone and get married, or should I stay single? Again, not one's not ungodly and the other godly. Both are okay by God. So what do I choose?
Mm.
I think this is where we can really stress about these ones. So, you know, ungodly, it's fairly straightforward. Obviously, we can still be tempted to do the ungodly things. We've got to repent from our... In terms of, you know, decisions that... Which is a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
That aren't that godly, ungodly. How do we make a call between what do we get for lunch to, you know, who should I marry or what job should I do or what, you know, career path should I follow?
Mm.
And I think what makes it so hard is we want to follow God's will. We want to do what God's will. But often we can think that we want God's will because we think that if we do what God wants us to do, it will turn out best for us.
Mm.
So we secretly think that God's will is where we will have the most happy or successful life.
God's will for us is the smoothest path because he knows what's going on.
We think we can subconsciously think that. So that's why we want God's will, because we think will be the best for us in terms of a happy life. So like, you know, if I choose the partner that God wants for me, then I think I'll be happy.
Mm.
Or if I choose the career path that God wants for me or God has laid out for me, well, that's the path that will lead me to being successful. Mm. We can think that, you know, God's way is the kind of the highway to a successful, flourishing life. Whereas that's not necessarily the will of God for people. God decrees that Christians will suffer and or be persecuted or not experience success in life because that's better for the kingdom or that will help keep them in holiness. Again, we look through 1 Thessalonians doing that at the moment. Paul is very, Paul's expecting that this persecution, this hardship that comes with following God's will. And so we can get, we can get so stressed that, if I just work out exactly what God wants me to do, then everything's going to go well.
We can kind of apply like a human wisdom and logic to our decision-making and kind of think that kind of applies with how God thinks about decisions. We can kind of go, this will leave me happy. That's kind of how people think generally. Like, I make the decisions at the most happiest for me. And so we kind of go, yes, I will be very happy if I always make the godly decision. And that's just not quite how God works.
Yeah, or I'll get what I want if I make the godly decision. No, because we know what God wants. His will decree that everything will be under Christ. So he'll use whatever circumstances, whatever means, whatever future to help you, if you trust in Jesus, stay under the rule of Christ. And that will mean discipline from God. That might mean suffering and hardship from God. Might mean, good things as well. But God's big goal is for you to keep following Jesus, not necessarily that you have a fulfilling, successful, happy life, because there's a bigger picture of life with Jesus.
I think that's something I was thinking about when I was thinking about decision making, and why doesn't God just give us clear-cut answers of right and wrong and what we should and shouldn't do and give us voices from heaven all the time? And I was thinking about how we just wouldn't grow as Christians if God worked like that. Like his big will is that we would be holy and grow. And if we were always told what the right and wrong decision was to do, then we would never grow. It would just be about laws and doing the right thing. And instead, God works on our hearts and changes our hearts. And I think decision-making is a big revealer of where our hearts are at. It really shows what our priorities are, it really reveals sin so quickly in us when we think about why are we making this decision, why are we not? And so actually the grayness of many of our decisions in life are really this a beautiful opportunity for God to grow us and to work in our hearts and to reveal sin and to transform and change us. And so rather than thinking about these decisions being confusing and worrying, we can look at them as opportunities for God to be making us holy, because that's his big will for us, and something that we can actually be really encouraged by. And that was an idea I thought was really cool to think about, and a little bit freeing in terms of going, why doesn't God give us voices from heaven? I would really like that. It'd be really helpful. But it actually wouldn't be really helpful.
No, it's not what God wills for us. So in terms of making a decision, here's kind of a summary. So firstly, when we are not encouraged to seek to work out what God's will of decree is. So we don't need to try and work out in some discernible way what God has decreed for me to do. So we can relax and not pursue that. Instead, we go, what is God's will of command for me? What has he commanded me to do? Well, he's commanded me to be godly. So we need to firstly work out, what's a godly decision? Is there something that's ungodly in one of the options, and not obviously choose the ungodly option? Or if there's a risk of being ungodly in a decision, I need to factor that in terms of my decision making, because God wants us to be holy. But then if it's a decision that isn't, ungodly or godly, but there's a range of seemingly neutral options that we could choose, then we go, the big story of God's will is everything under the Lordship of Jesus. All right, what fits with that? What's going to help me and others keep under the Lordship of Jesus? And then if it's still, and then we can factor in, I've got option A, B, and C. All right, what do I do? They're all similar in godliness. They're all, there may be different opportunities, but, at all, say we do a career thing, they will all lead us to, I can share Jesus with my colleagues at either of them. They're all work that I could, contribute to the good of others. So they're all, worthy decision options. Then we get in the category of wisdom. So where God doesn't call us to choose by supernatural discernment, he does call us to make decisions in the field of wisdom.
Yeah.
So in the whole, you know, the Bible's got a whole category called wisdom literature.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Proverbs, Psalms, Job, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs.
Yeah.
Have I got all of them?
I think it's all of them.
Yeah. As you read those, they're all about how God has made the world and what it looks like to live, to walk along the grain, to kind of stand along the grain of the way that God has made the world. And so that's where we go when we want to make a decision. We go, okay, I've got option A, B, and C. They're all equal in godliness and opportunity. All right, what's the wise decision? Let me use all that God has given me as I've read the Bible and heard sermons and talked with friends over the years.
Yeah.
Of all the wisdom that I've gained of this world and how to live to please God. Okay, what's going to be the wise decision? So it's like we've got this, an athletics field. We don't have one lane to run in.
Yeah.
And if we step into the wrong lane, we get disqualified.
That's right.
But no, God has actually given us the whole field. He's, you know, the field's got a fence around it. And so if we step out of that fence, we go off into ungodliness. But we can choose whatever's in the field. Now, some things might be wiser than others. And if it's less wise, then it may not go as well with us in life. But it's not ungodly. And we just need to live with those decisions. But we're free, actually, to make the decision that we think is wise. And so we don't need to go, oh, which is God's will. If it's a wise decision, go for it.
And I think that's where God's will of decree is a real massive comfort in how we think about decision making, because we can get really worried that we step off track, we're outside of what God's will is, and everything's over. Whereas actually, God is in command of everything, and everything that happens is part of God's will. And so we don't have to stress so much about stepping outside of God's will if we've been focusing on where our hearts are at and being holy in those decisions that we've made. We can't escape and go outside of God's will. God's in command of all history. And so we can take a breath and relax a bit and go, no, God's in control. I can't step outside of his will.
Yeah.
He knows what's happening. And so I don't have to have that fear of stepping outside of God's will or like ruining God's plan for my life.
That's right.
That's just not possible. God's plan is what will happen. Yeah. So yeah, we don't need to be so anxious and uptight in those kind of decisions.
Yeah. But also to recognize you have genuine responsibility for your decisions. So it's not like God is saying you need to choose the right one, otherwise I'm going to strike you down. No, it's like I'm giving you these options. God's giving you these options. And he's also giving you the freedom to choose. And so whether you're going to keep going down the engineering line or if you're going to change to something else, or whether you go, oh, is this person that I'm dating the right person to marry or not? So should I call it off? You genuinely have the freedom to choose. And so seek all the wisdom that you can from God's word and from other people, and then go for it. Make a call. Don't be paralyzed of, oh, but God's given you the responsibility to make a decision. Get all the wisdom you can. Make sure it's a godly decision. And then go for it. Give it all you got.
Yeah. So it's a lot less complicated than I think we make it in our heads. We make decision making super complicated and difficult. But actually, it's pretty clear. God's will is for us to be holy. And so within that, we've got scope to make decisions and plan things. And God is in control of everything. He can work through bad decisions that we've made for our good as well. Like, we don't have to stress about those things, but actually trust God, be prayerful, trust the wisdom of others as well, and go out there and make decisions.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, we've got a couple of resources that you'd like to share, Antonio. I think we had a name for this segment
when we
introduced it in maybe the first episode of the podcast, and then we never did it again.
Yep.
I Know Places, I think, was our name for
is.
That. So what are these places that you know, Anton?
Two books that are really helpful in thinking all this through and thinking rightly about it. One is free on a free ebook.
Love a good free thing.
So if you go to the Apple Bookstore or Amazon, it's I think it's free or a dollar or something like that. R.C. Sproul is the author. Can I Know God's Will?
Mm.
It really sets out the different wills of God and helps us with that, and also looks at, you know, has two case studies of work and career and marriage as well. So that's a really helpful book, and it's free. The other book, which I thought was really good on this, was Kevin DeYoung, Just Do Something.
Mm, that's a good title.
Such a great title. It's like, in the end, just do something. Yeah, Kevin DeYoung, Just Do Something. Mm. That was a really, and it's a really easy read. It's modern. Yeah, that was really helpful, and he just smashes our some silly ways of thinking. So
yeah, awesome.
They are two places that I know that would be really helpful if you wanted to think further.
Yeah, great. Thanks. All right, now we are back to trivia, blank space, where we work through some Bible trivia questions. I'm really hoping to get something right this time because we just started last week, and Anton, through my generosity in giving you an answer last week, we are on two. You're on two, yes. And I'm on zero because I didn't know the order of the plagues. Anyway, let's see what happens this week.
We're doing people this week.
People
category. Here we go. Who was Abraham's first wife?
First wife? Sarah? I don't know if he had a wife before Sarah.
Sarah's correct.
Yay.
Well done.
I feel like first wife made me confused. Yes, it like put me off a bit.
Didn't he like, you know, get with his...
Yeah, but they weren't married. That was Hagar.
Yeah. Anyway. Well done. Point for you, Simon.
All right. For you, Anton, who was Judah's daughter-in-law?
Judah's daughter-in-law. I am thinking Tamar. Let's go with Tamar.
You're also correct.
Yes.
That was a harder one. Good job there.
That's a wild story. You should look up Judah and Tamar.
Genesis 38.
Okay. Ooh, another Abraham question.
Oh, whoa.
Name Abraham's two brothers. They are getting harder as we go along.
Two brothers? I actually think I've got no clue. I want to say Lot, but I don't think Lot was his brother. I genuinely don't know the answer to this, so I'm just going to say Lot for one of them, even though I don't think it's right.
Do I give it? I mean, two brothers.
I know, Lot and Few. Lot and Few.
No, incorrect.
Yeah.
Lot is not Abraham's brother.
Yeah, I didn't think he was.
Nahor and Haran.
Nahor sounds familiar, but Haran, no. I wouldn't have gotten.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
All right. Last one. Who screamed rape and had a cloak as evidence?
Oh, Potiphar's wife.
You are correct.
So, story of Joseph.
Yeah, I feel Joseph's like you brought up that story in one of the podcast episodes.
Yeah, it was probably last week. Yeah. Yes.
And
there you go.
Well, you got two right and I got one right. So.
Yes. Oh, wow. I didn't change the score.
So, you're on four and I'm on one.
I'm perfect score so far. Yes.
Well, that's another round of blank space. Let's hope maybe we reverse next week and I get a perfect score next time.
Who knows what the will of decree will be?
Let's find out next week. All right, well, thanks for joining us for another episode of the 625 Pod. I really hope that was helpful in you in thinking about decision making and how to be godly. Hope you enjoyed watching me get smashed in trivia yet again.
It's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it is definitely enjoyable for Anton. He laughs a lot. Like and subscribe us on Facebook. You can find us at 625 Pod. We're on lots of different podcasting platforms and applications. We will be releasing these episodes for the whole season every Friday. And you can also join us at Church Online, 645 on ccsi.online. We'd love for you to join us there too. Next week though, Anton, what are we looking at?
We'll be living for God in our work.
Mm, that was really helpful to follow up with the decision making, right? Because we make a lot of decisions are about work.
Yep.
So what does it then look like for us to live for God in our workplaces? Great. Join us next week.